The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Apparently everyone in Europe thinks we're nuts because of our fishing quotas. That's according to the owner of Gannet Fishmongers in Galway, Stefan Griesbach, who joins me now, along with Sinn Féin's Pádraig McLoughlin, who is the party's fisheries and marine spokesperson. But Stefan, to you first, what is the problem as you see it?
Well, the problem is, good morning first, the problem is just the way we're managing our fisheries. I think, we've sold out our fishing right to the EU. And within this, we're not really controlling the way we're catching fish in Ireland. It's just a lot of, in my opinion, unsustainable practice. We're not looking at the artisanal fishing as the main source of production, because most of the fish has to be exported. There's low demand for seafood in Ireland, and the demand is very specific to certain species. We're not trying to encourage people to eat a greater variety of fish. It's been an ongoing problem for generations, so it's not new. But now that the fishing has become come at a standstill, we're seeing big problem with the industry.
Okay, so what are we doing? We're catching fish, but we are selling it.
We're catching fish for the export market. I mean, that's most of the food industry in Ireland anyway. Everything is targeted towards the export. And then we're replacing with import. I mean, the fish industry is a case, the vegetable industry is a case that was in the news recently as well, where we don't produce food anymore. There's a lot of talk from politicians about food security. And I mean, if you're looking at the figures, except for the beef and the lamb industry, which are strong in Ireland, the rest, we cannot rely on our own production.
So the fish that we eat here in Ireland, you say 80% of that is imported.
At least 80% is imported, yeah.
Crazy, doesn't it?
It's ridiculous, and I've been we've been shouting that for years, but that's the reality of it. I mean, your salmon, that you'll find, in shops or restaurants is usually from Norway. Your sea bass, sea bream has been farmed in Greece. You will have egg, which very used to be a reliable fish for us in Ireland, again, because the fleet has been decimated. Most of the egg come from Scotland. One thing I highlighted in that interview last week was this egg coming all the way from Namibia.
Namibia,
not all of it, but when there's shortage of egg, when there is no egg to be found in Scotland, some importers will bring in fresh egg from Namibia.
So do we have hake in our waters here?
We do have plenty egg. We do have, the stocks have gone down a little bit, but we still do have plenty egg. But we're not getting enough of it because the fleet, the fleet has been shrunk to nothing. You go around the harbor, around Ireland, and there's no boats anymore. We decommissioned everything. We have a few big boats standing up in Donegal. We're very proud of them. They're big and beautiful, but the rest of the harbors are empty.
Okay, well, let's bring in Pádraig McLoughlin on this too. So are our waters being plundered by foreign trawlers with our consent, Pádraig?
Yes, the answer is yes. I mean, common fisheries policy has been disastrous for our country in terms of, we have this huge resource, the sea around us. We're an island nation, and we're trapped in 1970s, 1980s European policy. So those who had a track record continue to get the fish, and that means the injustice is locked in. You can't change the injustice. And we really, as a people, but our governments have allowed this passively for a long, long time. But it gets even worse because you have a common fisheries policy that rewards the industrialization of fishing. So you have a handful of corporations, massive corporations based in Holland, that are given, a very large proportion of the fish. They have super trawlers that go up and down the coast of Ireland, perfectly legally hoovering up fish of all species with no monitoring by our authorities. It's a national scandal, and I'm pleased that Stefan is shining a light on it. It's shameful for our country that we have such a huge resource in our seas, and it is given away without a fight every single year.
But Stefan, to come back to you on this, we're not very good in Ireland at eating a variety of fish, are we?
No, we're not very good. That's part of the problem. I mean, there's no trade, like fish, seafood is not really part of the Irish food culture. Something we've been working on to try to change over the many years, but it's not like, no, it's not as important to the culture as like, no, it would be in France or Spain or Italy. But I think, I mean, what Porik said, like, no, okay, we can blame the EU for everything, okay, but like we have to look at our own, like, no, at our own door as well. A lot of mismanagement has been happening in Dublin, okay, that like, no, we're not like, no, we're not regulating. We have an industry in trouble, but we're not really trying to regulate that industry ourselves in a more sustainable way. Everything has to be big boats, big fishing. We call it the industry. I don't like this word because it's like, no, we're talking about craft, like, no, traditional fishing has moved toward like, no, industrial fishing.
So are you saying that we should be encouraging the smaller boats to catch more fish?
We need to kind of change the focus. Obviously, the big boats, like, no, don't, like, no, we need some big boats. I mean, I have nothing against the super trawlers, like, no, they are needed for to catch some species, but they're absorbing most of the quota. And they'll be fishing for 2-3 months in the year, and then, like, you know, so they're not, like, you know, in terms of employment and in terms of benefit for the industry, they're not as good as, like, you know, some people claim. We need, like, you know, smaller boat, like, you know, full of fishing boats. I mean, I was in the north of Spain a few weeks ago looking at, like, you know, one of my fish team supplier, and I mean the harbors were buzzing, hundreds of people walking around the harbor, and that's not only for 2 months in the year, that's going on for like 9 months. Because they have like one, they fish first for anchovies, and then when the anchovies finish, they go on the tuna. There's a lot of people like, you know, working in factories, like, you know, processing the fish, well, processing like an uncrafting, like, you know, very, very high premium product. And like the same fish here caught in Ireland will be sent up to like the Donegal and will be turned into fish meal. In Spain, they will make anchovies into a tin and sell that like, you know, over like 300, uh-huh. 400 euro kilo. We need to look at the model, like, you know, it's been all wrong, like, you know, for, it's not 20, it's been going on for 40 years, like, you know, we don't.
Just on the tuna, Stefan, you can see them jumping in the water off the coast of Ireland, but we don't catch them.
It's crazy. We've got, like, no, like, we've a lot of bluefin tuna in Ireland. Like, everybody knows, like, no, everyone who kind of knows sushi knows about bluefin tuna. It's a prime fish, premium, like, in Japan. It sells up to 2-3,000 euro kilo for, like, no, those fish. They're air in our water. We do not have a quota for that fish. Like,
so we don't catch any figure, of it. Okay? We don't catch any of it, do we?
We only allowed to catch a bycatch. So if it's accidentally caught, we only allowed to return a few fish. So there's 45,000 tons of tuna caught between the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. Okay. Out of this, the EU has 25,000 tons. Ireland only has 79 tons out of that quota, just for bycatch.
How many?
Like, we don't even go 79 tons out of 25,000 tons caught by the EU.
Okay, so
we do not even send representative. Yeah. Like, we do not send representative to the tuna meeting.
Okay, representatives at the tuna meeting from Ireland. That's extraordinary, no. Porik. That seems to be just madness.
It's just disgraceful.
Yeah, the bluefin tuna is one of the most lucrative fish in the world, and it is in abundance in our waters. But would you believe that we're only allowed to catch and release bluefin tuna? We've fought for a quota for many years, and we haven't been allocated a quota. And bluefin tuna are a predatory fish. You know, they will hoover up and eat, obviously, some of the species, you know, like mackerel herring and so on, sprats that we would want for our own supply. I would agree with Stefan, too, that we really need to do better in connecting small fishermen and their catch, and to try and, I suppose, educate our own people on the variety of fish, you know, from shellfish to finfish right through, so, and how it connects to the waters closest to us. So there's definitely work to be done, and we have a Department of Marine, you know, and BIM, and that can do so much more. But the core issue is that we don't have enough fish. The core issue is that the Common Fisheries Policy has failed us badly. It is a profound injustice. And as a people collectively, we have to stand up against this, and we have to say this is wrong. It actually goes against the broader principles of the European Union around climate change, around, you know, communities benefiting from the resources closest to them. So we just have to fight. you know, within the European Union, so much harder than we have.
Okay, and Stefan, I'll let you go now. Thank you for joining us. Stefan there, Griesbach from Gannet Fishmongers in Galway. But Padraig, I wanted to talk to you to get your reaction to what happened over the weekend with the two by-elections in Galway West and Dublin Central. And it's fair to say that Sinn Féin really underperformed in that in those elections. Were you disappointed?
Well, in terms of both constituencies, like we put in our teams, I've seen it at first hand, put in a huge effort. In Dublin Central, we got a strong vote, but I do congratulate the Social Democrats and Daniel Ennis. You know, it was their day in Dublin Central. By-elections have their own dynamics. Similarly, in Galway West, you know, we know that. You know, if you look at Fine Gael, we'd have a strong presence in Galway West. It would be maybe a more conservative constituency than most. So we were always up against it over there. So it's disappointing, of course.
But in Dublin Central, the party was divided between which candidates to pick, Janice Boylan or Gillian Sherratt, who was your party leader's preference. So that didn't help.
It's true that that there was division. It was a very close convention. But in fairness, once the decision was made, you know, everybody get in behind Janice. And in fairness to her, she put in a real, you know, mighty effort. You know, she came second overall. She was close to being top of the poll in the first count. So you know, it's just when you have a by-election, it creates its own dynamic. I think for us, we would look towards the general election. The general election will be about the big picture, will be about, you know, the type of economy, fairness, cost of living, housing and health. They're going to be the big issues at the next general election.
Would you like to see a stronger alliance being built with the left between Sinn Féin and the likes of Labour? Because you had no bounce from the transfers from the Labour candidates, certainly in Dublin Central.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, we will continue to work at that, but we won't agree in everything. I mean, we're a Republican party. We're on the left. We want strong public services. We want people to have affordable housing, affordable healthcare, affordable education. That's our policy. We won't agree with other political parties on everything. But I think there's a broad alliance there, and I think that we can present that to the people in the next general election.
There's a floating voter there. We got it in 2020, but it seems to have drifted, according to one unnamed Sinn Féin member. Do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, my own strong view is that if you look at the opinion polls over the last while, Sinn Féin have been at the top of them at the national level. I have to say that as the Sinn Féin whip, chief whip that works with all of our spokespersons, works with everybody across the front bench, I think we have a really talented team. It's a collective leadership. And I would feel happy and confident that we're in a very strong position to lead the opposition, to give people hope that it doesn't have to be a Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael government again the next time. So, I mean, my own view would be positive. And I think that we just need to knuckle down, get on with the hard work over the next few years. And then when it comes for the election, to give people hope that there is an alternative to what's there.
You've been offering that alternative now for successive elections and people haven't taken the opportunity to put you into government. Is it time to change your leader?
Absolutely not. I mean, Mary Lou was elected as the leader only weeks ago at the Ardèche. The only time, you know, you get the opportunity, and it's the members that do that every year. They elect the president and the vice president and the leadership of the party at the Ardèche. So we just need to, as a collective leadership, it isn't one person, Mary Lou. It's a collective leadership of all of us.
But she
we
is
need
the
to
party
work together,
leader.
Work hard.
She is the party leader.
She is indeed, and she's a very good party leader, but it's a collective leadership. That's how we do things in Sinn Féin. We work together as a team. We take responsibilities, a bit like a football team, for every position on the pitch, and then we present. And, you know, I would feel happy where we are right now. Obviously, in the by-elections, you'd like to win seats.
Yeah.
But overall, I feel we're strongly moving towards giving people that hope. And it will be a broad left coalition.
I think it's interesting that you say it's a collective leadership. Does that mean that the person who is the leader is sort of interchangeable then?
No, Mary Lou, everybody knows she's one of the strongest political communicators on the island of Ireland, you know, an immense talent. But it is a collective responsibility, and we all need to shoulder that responsibility as a team. And we do. And I, as I say, I'm the whip of the party. I work with everybody, all of the spokespersons. There's immense talent there. And so for me, I don't believe in the cult of personality. I believe it's a collective political party, 32 counties, that we present to the people our vision for the future. And, you know, if you win an election, that's great. And if you don't get into government, it's really disappointing. But you need to knuckle on. People deserve that. They deserve us to be focused every single day on the issues that matter to them. And that's what we'll do.
Pádraig, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Pádraig McLoughlin there, Sinn Féin TD.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.